The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Season 1, Episode 21 of the Grave Consequences Podcast. I am Caleb B., and that's where you can follow me on Twitter, joined by my co-host and good friend, Greg, a.k.a. Maserati. Man, the show can legally drink now.
If you're going by episode number, I suppose. They probably shouldn't, though.
Yeah, it's probably irresponsible. Don't be drinking while you're promoting a show. We don't want to turn into any Nitro 2000, anything like that, you know?
It's funny you say that because it does explain a certain segment that I think me and you are both going to go pretty hard on.
Yes, I think it does. Oh, man. But we are here tonight and we start off. Oh, by the way, the working title of the show was Uno, Dos, Tres. Awesome, cool. But we have a subtitle. We are going to give that to you right now and, you know, we'll explain why it's that later. But Greg, you came up with a nice alternate title, much better than Uno, Dos, Tres. What is that alternate title?
We are going to be titling this one when it drops, Dragon Azteca's McDojo. And if you've ever taken a martial art or if you've done MMA or jiu-jitsu, you've heard that term thrown around. And yeah, I would use that term for a certain segment on this show.
Oh, gee. So let's get right into it, man. Let's rip this bag of peanuts wide open. The very first thing we see is Dario Cueto in his office. All of a sudden, he is joined by Big Rick, who is accompanied by The Mac, a.k.a. Willie Mac, and Killshot, who you may today know as Isaiah Swerve Scott. Isaiah Swerve Scott is, pardon me, The Mac is Big Rick's cousin, correct?
Is that what he, yeah, he said that. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, The Mac is his cousin, and Killshot's just like a friend.
Yeah, I didn't think about it until you pointed that out. Did he say he's his cousin, or was he just calling him cuz?
No, he's his cousin.
Okay. I didn't pick up on that.
If I'm wrong, and we find out in like a week or two that I'm wrong, then I will apologize on air, but I'm fairly confident that he is his cousin. But Big Rick isn't here to exchange pleasantries, unlike Dario Cueto. He's here because he knows Dario put the hit out on him. And I love the intimidation he was doing. And Rick was very close to, by the body language, maybe putting the cigar out in the eye of Dario Cueto.
Eye for an eye. It would have been just.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But, and you know this, obviously, because you watched the show, because you're a damn good podcast host. How exactly does Dario Cueto buy his way out of it this week? What does he announce?
Well, two things. What we're going to see is there's going to be a new title on the line. That's going to be a tournament, I believe he said, the trios, yes. tag titles. Mm-hmm. Now he offered to enter them into the tournament, and they accepted, but that after they accepted this, he extended his hand and Dario went to shake it. And Rick smacks his hand out of the way and says, that's not what I want. So Dario has to open his drawer, pull out some cash, and he goes, well, you got to get my friends too. So he had to pull out other stacks for the Mac and for Killshot. And I just wrote down that he's bleeding Dario. Like, Dario's getting the upper hand with, like, the crew attacking him. But Rick's making money, not wrestling. If you think about it, like, he's extorting this poor man. Like, I know Dario's the bad guy, but he just got bullied into giving up, like, stacks of paper, you know? I don't know. So this is my second time watching the first season, and I see Dario as a sympathetic character.
Well, Dario Cueto is not sympathetic, no matter what you might want to believe. But I like that. Okay, he got extorted, and not only was he extorted by Big Rick, he was extorted by the Mac and Killshot. But I also like Dario got the Mac's name wrong. He said, "What's your friend's name? Your cousin's name? Is it Daddy Mac?"
Yeah, that was good. I thought it was pretty funny.
That was great. I agree. Go back into the old notes app. I took my notes on the old phone, and I just got a new phone like a few hours ago. So I'm switching back and forth between old and new. But as Greg has discussed off air, I'm pretty much a boomer, as it turns out.
Yeah, I'm not going to bring up all the things that you've done today because they're embarrassing. Hey, you should be embarrassed.
I may or may not have had to launch a new Facebook account, possibly.
These are the things I have to deal with as I edit this show, and this is the nonsense I have to deal with all the time.
You are doing the Lord's work.
I got to reel this all in and make a show out of it.
Oh, my God. So after that, we are played into the temple by one Sergio Arrua. That's how I pronounce his name. I could be pronouncing it wrong. I am but a gringo. Things will happen. I do like how they announced, Matt Stryker announced the Trios title tournament. And it is going to take place over not only this episode, but the three episodes after. So we have that to look forward to. Not much else to report from the intro. Vampiro didn't really do anything to stand out in a bad way, which is nice.
Yeah, if anything, he actually said a few things that I liked on the show. And if they come into play, I'll bring them up. But like I said on a recent episode before this, like, Stryker and Vampiro are getting, they're getting their groove.
Much
and
better.
They're getting comfortable. They're saying, like, they're still going to say some things that piss me off just because, you know, me and Caleb, we're wrestling geeks. We like, we overanalyze it. We, you know, we know all the all the rumors. We watch all the different shows, so we're gonna nitpick it. But there's some gems out of Vampiro and Stryker. If anything, Stryker is the one that's been lacking. And I even when we get to it, there's actually a point where I agree with Vampiro, like 100% on a point he makes.
Nice. And so the first action of the night, Angelico is already in the ring. Last week he did the honors for Son of Havoc, so let's see where he goes from here. And things are not looking good for his win-loss record because his opponent is Johnny Mundo, who, by the way, still over like Rover in the temple.
He should be, man. I rewatching it, Johnny Mundo might be my favorite wrestler of the first season. Like I don't know what WWE is doing. I'm not gonna correct. I genuinely don't know. I don't know. I know he's paired with Miz. I don't know how good it is. Could be great, could be bad. But he's a great wrestler, dude. Like he's in this match, he's doing the parkour stuff. And I remember when I first watched Lucha Underground, I was like, this is stupid and lame. You know, using parkour. I mean, and I've seen shows like or movies. I think it's District 13. It has like a very famous parkour guy in there, and they mix martial arts with a martial artist. And it's actually, you know, it's a decent martial arts movie. So I'm not completely against it. But at the time, I was like, this is lame. It's a fad. You know, I just thought it was corny. But Mundo incorporates parkour into his matches in a way that it doesn't seem as choreographed. And it just seems like different and fresh the way he escapes moves. Like he'll jump onto he'll from the bottom floor, he'll jump up to the second level where the gate is and then flip off of that and hit people. Like the way he dodges things is just, he makes it work. It's very believable and I like it.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. This was like, I'm going to give a college football analogy that a few may understand, especially those in the around the Midwest to South, Big 12 fans in particular. This match in particular, Angelico versus Johnny Mundo, they were so athletic. It reminded me of when Oklahoma played Texas Tech. I do apologize if there's a train in the background, but it reminded me of the time when Oklahoma played Texas Tech and you had Baker Mayfield against Patrick Mahomes. Even you non-football fans know who Patrick Mahomes is. These guys blazed both of the defenses they were playing. And again, in a similar way, these guys were so athletic. Like, it kind of just came down to who was going to get the ball last and score the last points, who would win, you know? And that's the story that was told here, because Angelico brought his A game, man.
He brought his A game, but the one critique I had about the match is that there was some traditional flippy shit stuff I don't like. Like, he did like a back kick and Mundo caught it, so Mundo flips him forward, which is not really something you would actually do to someone if you're fighting them, especially if they're exactly a flippy guy. And there was a great sequence where Mundo is swinging at him and Helico is bobbing and weaving like he's a boxer, like Anderson Silva would, where he's just rocking his shoulders back, and it would look really smooth and really sweet. So that kind of countered the stuff I didn't like. In the end, like you said, it actually came down to Angelico showing off too much and grandstanding and like playing to the crowd too much. And he got to a point where he went for a Hurricane Rana. I'm not sure if you're ready to finish the match. I can stop if you had more you wanted to add.
I didn't really take any spots because, I mean, just everything they did was so athletic. So in that regard, nothing really stood out.
Yeah, I started writing stuff, but I soon realized, okay, this isn't the kind of match where you can do that because you will have two pages of notes. The best thing you could say is that this is Angelico with his flying and striking versus Mundo with his flying and parkour and striking. And it made a really – their styles really best really well. It came down to just Mundo being serious about, like, just fighting. And Angelico, like I said, just – kind of acting kind of like an indie darling, like just doing flippy stuff, playing to the crowd, like showing off.
Yeah.
And at the end, he went for a spot that was, you know, it was stupid, but it was intentional for the story. He tried to go for a Hurricane Rana when Mundo was on the top turnbuckle, but Mundo's feet were not in anywhere near the right position. So Mundo just powerbombed the fuck out of him into the ground. Do you remember that spot?
Yes. Yeah.
Dude, I felt that in my back. That was a pretty nasty powerbomb. I'm sure he's fine, but like, dude, imagine, like, you know, we know some people that are starting to become wrestlers or training to at least. Can you imagine taking a powerbomb like that?
Jesus Christ, I don't want to.
And it rightfully, I mean, he did the end of the world splash, but I mean, that probably would have, that alone killed it or ended the match. So, I mean, this was an awesome match. Like I said, the only bad things I had to say is that there are some remnants of flippy shit choreography that, you know, I can do without.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. And we're going to go into the next segment. But real quick, like the one thing that really stood out to me is like this is one of the few instances, probably less than five in the entire run of the series, where Johnny Mundo is going to be the second most athletic guy in the ring.
There's some people that get close. I think Johnny is the overall package. Like he's like, I know Ricochet, Puma is the champ, but especially with the previous match and the last show we recorded, when I was saying the match with Puma and Conan, how it made Puma look weak. I'm going to say it. Like, I think Mundo looked better than Puma in the first season, at least. I think Johnny goes down a little bit on the card in the later seasons, but just because he had to, story-wise. Yeah. And I just think that and the crazy thing is, I'm not saying Ricochet is worse than Johnny Mundo as a wrestler. I'm just saying on the card, they make Mundo looks like a fucking star. And Puma looks like a little bitch boy sometimes when Conan's fighting his battles for him, getting Hernandez involved, you know, and barely winning against Cage. It made Cage look good, but stupid. But I should probably stop myself before I continue ranting about that.
We'll spend another 10 minutes on this episode ranting about that. But
I could.
Oh, man. But as good as this was, this like Titans Chiefs AFC Championship from last year type of match, as good as this was, the next segment was not so good. We have the formerly unknown angry Asian lady, aka the Black Lotus. She had been kidnapped by El Dragon Azteca, as it turns out, who has spent the past month training her in the ways of, was it jiu-jitsu or just mixed martial arts in general?
Lucha Libre is what they said.
Oh, sorry, I'm stupid.
Yes, that's why I messaged you last night and said that this is what we're calling this, because they're doing all this kung fu on a black silhouette kind of scene.
It was like some Kill Bill knockoff shit. It was so dumb.
The thing is, it's dumb, but I loved it because it was stupid. But you know, it was like we were laughing about it because it is he kidnaps her, trains her in lucha libre, in quotes. You can't see my fingers, but quotes, where they're doing like Karate Kid kung fu, and. You know, should I spoil like how soon she leaves that?
I will just say this. I'll leave it kind of vague. Pretty quick.
Yeah, pretty quick. What I would say is that she's getting a black belt in such a fast degree that Dragon Azteca probably charged her a starting fee or whatever, a deposit, probably charged her for a few belts, different colors. And then charged her even more for her black belt ceremony. This is all the key elements to a McDojo. You should stay away from Dragon Azteca's gym because he's clearly not teaching Lucha Libre. If you ever watch the videos on YouTube where jiu-jitsu guys go to gyms where a guy's claiming he teaches jiu-jitsu and they prove that he isn't, or any kind of person that proves a fake martial art bullshito out, this is like, if I were writing this, if I were ever smart enough to write a wrestling show, that's where I would take this storyline.
Oh, my God. That's great, dude. That would be beautiful. We need a Lucha Underground spinoff that just doesn't take itself too seriously. Like, it's the comic version.
Dude, I mean, did you I'll wait till we get to season two to bring that up, but it's funny you bring up the comic book.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, Alberto runs into Johnny Mundo. Oh, by the way, Johnny Mundo can't act.
He's been in a few movies.
He has, I know, but his lines came off so scripted. It's like you can tell when someone's reading from a script. In that regard, I'm saying he can't act, at least here.
In this season. I will say. He can't do serious acting. I'll say that.
Yeah. Did you, speaking of super serious, have you seen Boone the Bounty Hunter?
I saw the first, this is the one with Mundo, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw the first like 5 minutes and I couldn't. I was like, no, this is too much.
Oh my God. It's got grown up Jonathan Lipnicki in it. It's amazing.
Yeah, if you can get through it, I mean, I'm sure it's good. It's just, and Johnny Mundo, he studied choreography. I'm not sure if in college or before he did wrestling or after, but he actually knows choreography. I don't know if he's like got a certification in it, but I know he has. He's had some training in fight choreography.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I said all this to say Alberto came in, basically disrespected him. Said Johnny, I honestly forgot about you altogether.
Yeah, he punked him
and
out.
And then he did. And Johnny's like, "Oh, dude, I'm totally the face of this company."
It's funny because you're not reaching like, very far. I swear it's to like God, what he said.
It was total energy of like the kid who comes back from summer camp, goes back to school, says he got a girlfriend at summer camp, but she goes to another school, so you don't know her.
Yeah, it didn't put him in the best light.
Yeah,
they should have read his lines a little. They should probably practice and saw how he would deliver them and say, yeah. Ooh, we gotta go back.
So that's, in my opinion, two less than stellar vignettes right in a row. I didn't mind this next one because I really like the foreshadowing. Dario Cueto was talking to Sexy Star in his office, and he wants Sexy Star in the tournament, but she doesn't have partners, but you know, never give up in Dario Cueto. He's provided some partners for her. One was Superfly, and the other, Pentagon Jr. okay, this definitely has a recipe for success, man. And I loved the last line that Dario said. He said, you know, in this tournament with a partner like Pentagon, this could be your big break.
Dario knows what he's doing.
He knows absolutely, yeah.
He's having a good time. And, you know, I think we've talked about this before. Sexy and Penta were tag team partners. I'm not sure if they were a trios or just a regular tag team.
I think they were just a straight up tag team, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so they have some chemistry together, and that's what I'll add to that segment. There, I think you pretty much said it all.
Yeah, not a lot going on there. Speaking of not a lot going on, and I was kind of surprised it was so short, but part four of the best of five between Drago and Aerostar. This was a must win for Drago, and I wrote down Aerostar was taking every opportunity to go for pins that he could early on. Not much going on here, but Drago with a quick roll-up victory. Those are all my notes, man.
Yeah, I can probably, because I wrote down a lot, because I've been trying my best to explain matches without just going spot by spot, so that people, doing my best to like give more flavor
incentivize people to go back and watch the show.
Yeah, the first couple of matches they had, because I've lost track of how many, I don't even remember the record. But the first couple matches. This is the fourth one. The first couple of matches, they were doing I don't want to say nice wrestling, but they weren't doing any nasty moves. It was all technical. It was all roll ups, submissions, you know, regular takedowns. And as we've gone further, the previous match was all about who could counter the other person, who could cut each other off, who's the momentum, just getting a little bit more counter wrestling. With each other and seeing who could outsmart the other person. This one, they got a little bit more nastier. Drago did a few slams from like up above. I don't remember if it was a Death Valley driver, but, or just a flapjack, but he slammed Aerostar down pretty hard a few times. And it's from his end, at least it got a little bit nastier throughout the match until he got the roll up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the good news is they're going to have a fifth match, and it just seemed to me, and I could be wrong, it seemed like this match was a lot shorter for some reason.
I don't think you're wrong. It didn't take up a large section of the show at all. It was, they just got their moves in, and I think they really just wanted to get to the part where they showed the animosity that was brewing, just because you're competing against someone. Sometimes you just take it personally, like, okay, you're not better than me.
You know?
So I don't think it was over 10 minutes.
Yeah. And no, that whole, like, the animosity building, like, even the best of friends, like, I'll give you an example. I'd be at like youth group on a Wednesday playing ping pong at the, you know, the ping pong table, and it'd get kind of heated.
Yeah. It's a natural thing. And I kind of like the way they're doing it. Like, the first time I watched the season, I wasn't thinking too much about it. But they're putting a lot of thought into, I mean, it's a simple storyline. They're competing against each other. It's a little stupid because they don't know what they're competing for, but it's wrestlers. We know the contracts they signed, so we got to lower the bar a little bit when it comes to intelligence. So, yes. You're not going to see me and Caleb competing for a unique opportunity.
Not if Dario Cueto is offering the opportunity, no.
No.
Oh, man. Let's see. Yeah. Next up, man, I love when they load the show up with Dario Cueto. Like, he is great.
Dude, he might be the best post Vince McMahon in the Steve Austin era. He's probably the best authority figure post McMahon.
I would agree. I would agree for sure.
And I don't know if you caught it, but Vamp, did I cut you off?
No, you're good.
Vamp said something in the previous match, and it pertained to Angelico because he was getting heated about that. He pointed out that a lot of them, and this is a critique you're gonna, I'm probably not gonna harp on it too much because it's throughout all the seasons, and it comes from AAA where they play to the crowd too much, and it works in AAA. Like, I watched a couple matches.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Just a while ago, who was it? Dr. Wagner Jr. Over there? Uh-huh. Like, all he did was play to the crowd. But it worked in AAA because they're just getting the crowd so fucking heated and excited. It makes sense. But here in a fighting, basically a fight club, it doesn't make as much sense. And it does seem stupid sometimes. And Vampiro gets heated. He's like, stop playing to the crowd. Like, he shouts. You'll hear him every once in a while shout. And he's 100% right. Throughout the show, it's almost like the wrestlers kind of can't change enough to be on a different show as opposed to Lucha Libre or Indie. I even feel that way about some wrestlers in AEW where they're on a major show, but they're still wrestling like, you know, they're on the undercard at New Japan, or, you know, they're at Ring of Honor, the second from the bottom. You know, I feel like when you're on a major television show, like, you should wrestle, like, I'm not saying WWE, but what I'm saying is, like, you should wrestle a little bit more seriously. Like, New Japan, it's more sports-based, not for everybody. It's not everyone's taste, but, you know, it's more serious. Even the joke characters will get serious and they won't play to the crowd too much. I think that only works in AAA. And I don't know. Maybe I'm ranting too much on it, but it does bother me sometimes in the show.
Oh, you're good, bro. Take as much time as you need. I was trying to wait out a train horn.
Well, then I guess it works out.
Oh, man. That's all good. Dario Cueto, in his office, invited Ivelisse, Son of Havoc, and Angelico, basically to bury them.
This is my favorite segment.
And then he invited them into the Trios tournament. He said, Son of Havoc, you had a big win last week, but that was after weeks and weeks, months of losing. Ivelisse, you got dumped by your boyfriend. Angelico, you lost to him, and you lost to Johnny. But, you know, I have a Trios tournament coming up, and you guys are going to be in it. And they are so pissed. They are just so pissed at Dario for this. They leave angry, and Son of Havoc kind of stays behind, and it is totally real, totally definitely Matt Cross's actual voice. He says, just for the record, I dumped her.
Yeah, the title for the show was almost Matt Cross's big boy voice. But Dragon Azteca's McDojo beat it. Dude, none of them, like, they all hate each other. Like Cross hates Angelico and Ivelisse because he broke up with her. She hates him because he dumped her. And she hates Angelico because he didn't take her seriously in her match and kept trying to, like, hump her. And Angelico, you know, he couldn't get the girl. And he was stirring up shit with Matt Cross. There's a lot of friction here for this tag team, so I guess we're gonna see how well they do.
Yeah. So next up, we have got our main event, which is the first of four. There, we'll have three semifinals and then the finals. But anyway, the first of four trios matches in this tournament here. We have got the team of Big Rick, The Mac, and Killshot, who, by the way, they're getting booed quite a bit, which to me was weird, and it tells me they definitely shot out of order, because I don't know, maybe Rick does something soon down the line. I can't even remember, to be honest with you, but, like, they have no reason to boo the guy. Like, the last time we saw him on the show, he was over.
Did they come out before Sexy Star and Superfly?
Yes, they did.
Then I don't know that's
why the booing was so weird, you know?
I didn't notice that, because Vampiro, here's where he dropped his fountain of knowledge. Did you hear him explain how the Trios titles were created?
No.
All right. So,
oh, wait. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Now,
yes,
I'm going to use my words to describe it. Mm-hmm. Basically, the Trios titles were created because Creative didn't have anything for too many people, and the promotions were losing too much money in catering. expenses. Mm-hmm. So to get everyone out of catering, they created the trio's titles so that people would spend less time buying, you know, eating up all the food.
Yes, that's definitely what Vampiro said.
Well, he didn't follow it up later with whoop whoop to all my ninjas. So
yes,
Vamp's a treasure.
Oh, do you think Superhuman is a Vampiro fan?
I would think he kind of has to be. He's a juggalo.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, it's like a rule.
Oh, my God. Oh, by the way, Matt Stryker mentioned Perros del Mal beforehand, which is a stable in AAA that Pentagon was a part of.
Who else was in it?
Taya Valkyrie and a few others.
Oh, wow. That's a good... I believe. She's good. Yeah. So she was already in AAA at this time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder if we're... do you think we'll ever see her on this show?
She'd be a good fit.
She would. I agree. By the way, speaking of mentioning things from outside of Lucha Underground on the air, earlier in the night, again, when Angelico came out, Matt Stryker put over the tag team of Angelico and Jack Evans. So that's awesome. I think he'd be a pretty good fit too, man.
Oh, he definitely would be. It's I wish they got him. Wish they were able to sign him.
Yeah, I hope he signs with them. That'd be nice, man.
It's crazy how little AEW is doing with Jack Evans.
Don't get me started.
Dude, it's crazy. He's so good.
Yeah. Yes. And Angelico, I mean, I'll grant you, like, he's a little dinged up, but, like, oh, my God.
Dude, he's still good. His match, did you see his match with, was it with Kenny or was it with Cody? It was Cody.
I don't watch Dynamite. I'm kidding.
He had a match with Cody. It was awesome. I think, I'm pretty sure it was Cody. Oh, dude, it was a lot of good grappling. Like, Angelico's, if anything, from here, like, this is, he's gotten way better. He should be pushed further.
Yes, I agree. So the Technicos come out, Sexy Star and Superfly come out together, and Pentagon comes out by himself. Oh my God, what happened?
What?
Did you get up?
No, did it make a sound?
Yeah, you're good. Don't worry about it.
All right.
But, man, there was something just so magical about Pentagon walking his way to the ring from the bowels of hell with definitely not Butterfly by Crazy Town playing and the crowd chanting Cerro Miedo as he comes to the ring. Honestly, it just put me at peace, you know? It transported me back to 2015.
Dude, I don't know how you do it, but, like, he bottled... He didn't have anything. He was just losing to people. He has bottled up this like aura of, like, he comes out, you know, he's going to mess things up. He's here. He has bad intentions. He does his little slow strut. He just knows he's cool. And he's just, the first time I saw him, I was like, who is this, like, G.I. Joe ninja guy? And my God, he's like the best. He's probably one of the best wrestlers I've seen in a while.
Pentagon Jr. for AEW TNT Champion 2021.
Dude, I really want them to push. I'm trying not to make this an AEW, like, this is what they should be doing. Why aren't they doing this with that guy? But, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, for me and you, we know these wrestlers, and you only have so much room for everybody, but my God, you can not push Abandon and maybe push Angelico.
Okay, sorry. You called her Abandon, and I love you for calling her that.
That's what we're calling her.
That's what you said. Yes, everyone should be calling her that, and I'm glad you took my lead on that one. That's much appreciated.
Oh, dude, she's horrible. Yeah, dude,
it's so great, though, that, like, again, Pentagon just comes over. He starts breaking arms. That helps out immensely, and he's winning. That definitely helps out. I had this discussion on It Doesn't Matter What We Call This, by the way. But yeah, basically, if you win a lot and you have some cool, like, something about you, you're gonna get over. Like, take a look at Ryback, for example. Like, he was over like hell in 2012, and he would just beat people and twitch his shoulder, and the crowds would chant "Feed me more." That's how over he got, based on winning. So yeah, if you win a lot, you can get over.
Dude, you're right, because I mean, I wasn't watching WWE, so I don't again, I don't know if Ryback was good or not, but when I saw, whenever I saw him in, like, you know, on pictures or whatever, I was like, whatever, that guy looks like, you know, he didn't impress me. So, I mean, and he did get over. I knew he was over. People were really, I remember people that were watching WWE at the time, I can't talk, they would always do the feed me more thing. So he got that over, just like Pentagon. He got, it's another catchphrase, Sierra Miedo, and feed me more. And then whoop some ass, leave.
Yep. Oh my God. So great. So speaking of whooping ass, Pentagon spent most of the early part of the bout whooping ass. He wasn't tagging anyone in. His chops were killing. The one bit of offense I remember him taking, the Mac hit a huge fucking pounce on him, which, shout out Monty Brown, best guy to never win the TNA title. he took a, pardon me, Pentagon hit a lung blower for two. Shortly thereafter, Superfly tagged himself in. And it's one of those, like, you knew he had to tag himself in because Pentagon wasn't going to tag out. He even said beforehand, he's like, I'm going to win these on my own.
For his master.
Yeah, exactly. His maestro.
Yeah, this was, this whole match was perfectly laid out to get everyone, to get the new people in there and get their moves over. They showed you what these guys could do, how well they could do it without hurting any of the faces, because they handicapped the faces with the fact that they didn't work well together. They're not.
Yeah,
it's two Technicos and a Rudo, and there's already some internal fighting there. So if they lose, it's not a big deal because they were fighting. They're fighting Rick's team and they're fighting themselves. Very good way to get new guys over.
Yes, absolutely. I agree, man.
And did you see the Judas Effect by Killshot?
I did not notice that. No,
he nailed Sexy with a Judas Effect.
Amazing. Not,
but then she got up and she nailed him with one, and you know, a spinning back elbow. I know when Jericho first unveiled it, people were like, oh, it's just a back elbow. But And Heel Josh number one even pointed out when we were discussing that in the group, you know, back elbow, like in any martial art, and if you see it in MMA and UFC, you can really mess somebody up with that. Break their nose, lip, you know, knock them out, break an orbital socket. So whenever wrestlers do this move that aren't Jericho, I kind of, you know, do you remember, did you ever see the Jerry Lynn versus RVD match in ECW?
I've heard so much about it, and I saw it once as a kid, but... No, I haven't seen it in like at least 15 years.
I remember it because this is a match where you can see, you know how they always talk about receipts and all that?
Yeah.
When a wrestler, this is a match where you can see it because RVD has Jerry Lynn in a waist lock from behind. And so Jerry Lynn's trying to get out by doing the back elbow, and RVD's head is to the right, and he uses, and Lynn uses his or to the left, and then Lynn uses his left elbow and strikes back right into RVD's eye and opens him up. And you could see RVD go like, what the, and and you could tell like they were both kind of like, oh crap.
Yeah, dude, oh my God, this so great, so great. Oh, dude, at one point, Matt Stryker referred to Rick as one-eyed Terry Crews.
I did. I missed that.
Oh, geez. Oh, dude, did you notice the, it was like a sideways package pile driver that Pentagon hit on Killshot? Only got a two count, though.
Oh, I think what that might have been the, and I forget what the name of the move is, because Shingo does two different versions, but I think that was like the Made in Japan. Where he basically hooks his head and he flips him.
Yeah
dude, I love that move, dude. Pentagon has some of the best fucking moves. His cradle, his package pile driver, and that are so good. Like I freak out every time he does them. They look so crisp.
Yes, I agree. Jesus Christ, let's see here.
There was, and I'm sure you have this in your notes, the I'll let you go.
I was going to say, there was a point when Superfly went for a pinfall and Big Rick made the save. And you know how sometimes you might just, you kind of lazily break it up? No, Big Rick went like full fucking force and like clobbered Superfly in the head.
That's his moveset. He just walks in and it doesn't look pretty, but he just hits you with a sledgehammer in his fist. I like it.
Oh my gosh.
Did you see when Penta,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, this is where kind of logic went out the window because Sexy and Pentagon worked together. I think it was Killshot on the top turnbuckle. Pentagon was in front of him. Yes, Sexy ran to him and jumped at him at Pentagon. Pentagon alley-ooped her up so high. Like, I think it was over Killshot's head. And she just happened to land on his shoulders and did a hurricane around it. Because you know they've done that spot in AAA. But it
I was going to say, yeah, you know that's definitely not the first time they've done that spot.
Dude, Pentagon's strong, dude. She's smaller than him, but you know, throwing a human body up that high because he threw her high.
Well, I mean, and she's jumping, but yeah.
Yeah, but still, like, it's above the turnbuckle.
Yeah. It. Oh my God. I wish we had 5, 6, 7, hell, 8, 9, 10 seasons of Lucha Underground. I really do, man.
Yeah, because even the worst stuff, which is in season 4, I think.
Yes. Yes.
even that. Is a show I would watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I wrote down the finish. Matt had a double stomp on Superfly, and that's what got them the win.
And that helps keep Sexy and Pentagon strong because they didn't lose. They were, again, the other handicap where they didn't get along, a Rudo and a Technico. Yeah. So the new guys go over and they get exposed. They get good exposure and the crowd can see what they can do and they look strong and the heroes and the bad guy, they also look strong even in defeat.
Yeah.
Cause you have that thought in the back of your head, like, well, what if they did get along? And that's some of the best, that's one of the best ways to keep people strong is to be like, well, they would have won if, you know, this and that.
Yeah, exactly. Dude. Pentagon wasn't having it. He was pissed. He damn near breaks the arm of Superfly until Sexy Star makes the save. And Superfly and Sexy Powder, Pentagon is pissed. He is staring a hole right through the both of them. And that actually ends the show.
Yeah, I don't know why she did that. I would have let Sexy or
Superfly. Because here's the thing. She's a hero, man. I told you, she's Steve Rogers. She's going to do the right thing no matter what.
Yeah, but it's Superfly.
Yeah, but still, like, it does crack me up because, again, Dario Cueto definitely knew what he was doing. He put her in with a Rudo and with a Jobber.
Against Big Rick, the Mech, and Killshot, a guy named Killshot.
Yeah, a guy named Killshot who we don't know, but, like, he's caught a few bodies.
Dude, his storyline is my favorite of the whole show, which we haven't even gotten to yet.
No, we're far from it, actually.
I don't think we even start that until season 2.
I believe so. I believe you're right.
Dude, does a certain individual from a certain tribe show up in season 1? I think I know. You probably know who I'm talking about, the crazy guy.
Oh,
I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah, that guy in particular. Yeah, he does, actually.
I don't know where he's at right now. Yeah. But he's great.
Yes, I agree. I don't watch MLW, but like maybe he's done some appearances on there. If not, why the hell not?
Yeah, I hope he's doing all right in his career because he's great. I mean, I'm not going to say he's Kenny Omega. He's not the best wrestler in the world. He's not. But he's a great, like if I'm making a promotion, I'm having him as a character on the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You remember NWA, the question mark? Yeah, those are characters you want on your show.
I remember the question mark, yeah.
Because, like, you want interesting characters, and I think that's a critique you can have about some shows is some characters are just look like, some wrestlers just seem like palette swaps of other wrestlers.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get out of here, man. Let's give them a rating on the show. I thought, I'm going to start us off. I loved all of the Dario segments. Not so much the Sexy one, but there wasn't a lot to report there. I loved the opener And I thought the main event was fine. You know, they told a good story. And it builds, it's going to build to, like, what the hell is Pentagon going to do to them? Like, you know, like, you've hit a calm before the storm. But, like, storm's going to come back. Doesn't matter. And for that reason, I'm going to give this week a 7.5.
Well, what if I hit you with a curveball? How would you feel about changing our rating system?
What would you, what are you proposing?
Either letter grades or a score out of, let's see.
6.9?
420. six.
Out of, I like the letter grade idea.
All right. I'm good with letters. What would you give it? And a letter grade goes up to an S. S is better than A.
Okay. I would give this a solid, I would say a B minus.
All right. I'm right on board with that. Yeah. See, I like letter grades better. They make more sense to me.
Okay. I like that. So B minuses all around. Folks, you heard it here first. We just changed the grading system.
I always like the letter grades better, personally. So,
yeah. I mean, I figure we use this because it's what I use on HeroCast, but I'm adaptable is the thing.
Sweet. Yeah, I know. I would like to get some constructive criticism on that, but I prefer it. Cause like, if someone says a match is a 7, to me, it's kind of like, I have to think about it. Like, is that good? What's the medium? You know, because like, especially with video game reviews, like everything's a 7 and above. Very few things are less than 5. So with letter grade, it's like, well, I mean, we could even do, you know, awful, bad, you know, decent, good, great, but that takes a little thoughts too. But this is basically a good match, even with that score. So a B minus good.
We could oversimplify and just do a binary good, bad system.
I would actually be on board with that.
I was kidding.
Oh, I mean, that's why it's hard for me to rate things, dude, because I either like it or I don't.
Yeah, I get you, man. But oh, my God. Oh, by the way, I already mentioned it doesn't matter what we call this. We drop that once a week, usually on Mondays. Also, I am a part of Eddie and Caleb's HeroCast. We drop every Wednesday night after NXT and AEW. And again, search for both of those wherever you download your podcasts. Otherwise, Greg, I think we're good to go, man.
Yeah, I'll just say, you know, tune in for the other Social Suplex shows, One Nation Radio, Keeping a Strong Style, Ricky and Clive. Can't remember them off the top of my head. Oh, 8-Bit Suplex.
We're 8-bit.
Not gonna, yeah, I'm not going to add keeping the ending part. We're just going to use this That's as fun. The drop.
This works. This works, dude. Great Match Generator, Keeping It Strong Style, you may have already said. Ricky and Clive, we may mention a couple. Listen to everything on the Social Suplex Podcast Network, damn it.
Oh, grown men watch this shit.
Hell yes, dude.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All Things Elite. How did we forget Floyd?
Yeah. Jesus Christ, dude. I almost forgot my best friend.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a real boomer, man.
Jesus, today is yeah.
Oh, gee. Anyway, folks, we are going to get out of here. Some may tell you we're not the best podcast out there, but they'd be wrong. And remember, folks, sometimes when you're wrong, there's nothing but grave consequences.